You are listening to the Special Needs Mom Podcast. This is Kara, your host, and I am so glad you're here. Before we get into this episode, I want you to know that Pathway to Peace, which is a group coaching program, is currently available to join. This program is built on three main pillars. First, coaching. It's the real powerhouse. It's what I do. It's what I love. Second, community. And if you've been around for a little bit more than a minute, you know how I feel about community and the power that it has to heal and change your life. And lastly, I have a library of content filled with resources, with modules, with lessons. We go way deeper than I can go in on the podcast. And these are available to you in a way that you can consume them in your busy life. This program would be a good fit for you if you've stabilized past the point of initial diagnosis and find yourself spending a little bit more than you'd like to in overwhelm. And you can't imagine how, given all the things in your life, you can have any sort of peace ever again. Through the program, you will gain the gift of acceptance. You will do the work to recover your spark. You'll leave the program with the tools and the confidence that you have what you need to have joy and peace part of your life once again. So it's time to change it up. I know you've been saying yes to everybody, especially serving with all your heart and everything you have to your child. Now it's time to say yes to you. Find the link in the show notes to get more information and for next steps. Hi, I'm Kara, life coach, wife, and mom to four incredible and unique children. It wasn't all that long ago that my son received a diagnosis that had my world come crashing down. I lacked the ability to see past the circumstances, which felt impossible, and the dreams I once had for my life and family felt destroyed. Fast forward past many years of surviving and not at all thriving, and you'll see a mom who trusts that she can handle anything that comes her way and has access to the power and confidence that once felt so lacking. I created the Special Needs Mom Podcast to create connection and community with moms who find themselves feeling trapped and with no one who really understands. My intention is to spark the flare of possibility in your own life and rekindle your ability to dream. This isn't a podcast about your special needs child. This is a podcast about you. If you are a mom who feels anxious, alone, or stuck, then you are in the right place. Welcome. Well, welcome to the Special Needs Mom Podcast. I'm excited because today we have another community huddle conversation. And this huddle is all around summertime. So I'm calling it the summertime pregame huddle. I'm really going with the sports analogies apparently, but I really like the visualization of us moms coming together in this conversation here on the podcast. But you know, you as you're listening, I want you to consider yourself part of this huddle and almost even picture us having our arms around each other, like actually considering ourselves the team of special needs moms that are huddling together to say, hey, we have this game coming up and it's called summertime. And we know it's a pretty good team. They have beat us before. And so therefore we need a new strategy and we need to kind of bring something else to the playing field that we haven't brought before. All right, let's start by introducing the players here in this current huddle. Brooke, why don't we start with you? Tell us your name, where you're coming from, and a little bit about the picture of you being a special needs mom.
My name's Brooke. I live in San Diego and I'm the mom to one child. Her name is Lily. She's 12 years old and she has intellectual disability, autism, and is nonverbal.
Thank you. And Rachel, welcome.
Thanks, Kara. I'm so excited to be here. I am Rachel. I also have one child. Her name is Audrey, and she is 8 years old. She has global delay, a rare genetic disorder that impacts pretty much all of her abilities, nonverbal as well.
Thank you so much for being here. And I am Kara. I balance this out. You guys have one, I have four children. So ages 15, almost 14 next week, and 11 and 5. Did you guys notice how it took me a long time to think of all those ages? Those weren't just dramatic pauses. I actually had a hard time remembering their ages. So those are my children. And my son, Levi, is a multiple brain tumor survivor. He has visual impairment. He has hemiplegia. So he has a physical disability and he's a part-time wheelchair user. He has what we could call behavioral challenges. So a lot of impulsivity, a lot of explosivity, we could say, and just some hard social behaviors to manage. See, we have a variety of medical conditions I will not list here. And currently we have some unresolved issues that we don't yet have a diagnosis for or an understanding of why it's happening, but what it's causing and why I share it is it's causing a significant challenge of him walking. So we went from being a part-time wheelchair user to almost now being full-time wheelchair user. And I will say we're not quite adjusted to it. And when I say we, I mostly mean me because it's really shifting on the support that I have to provide for him. And, you know, as it relates to summer, it could dramatically shift what we can and can't do during summer based on the shift of his disabilities. Okay. So now that we know who is in this huddle, I want to start by kind of just doing a little bit of a brain dump and talk about when we think of summer, when we think of summer coming, what are all the obstacles that we are expecting to face or that perhaps we have faced before and that we would predict would happen again when it comes with the changes that come with summer break. So for some of us, this means our kids are home full time. And for some of us, this means they might have extended school year or and some component of school. So you guys can share your experience, but I'll kind of just open it. Again, what comes up when you think about these struggles or obstacles that you expect to experience? Go ahead, Brooke.
For the summertime, I think it's kind of like a dual struggle. It's a struggle for Lily because she's so out of her routine. And that comes with a lot of challenges of trying to keep her entertained, busy, active. It's also really disruptive to my routine because I'm used to having her at school. And so that gets challenging for me because I'm not able to do things I'm normally able to do unless we've got some support to help take care of her. So the thought of summer is anxiety-ridden for me and my family. Even with summer school, Lily goes to summer school every year. She always has, but even that's a short day. So while she's continuing to go to school, it's still at a different location, different teacher, different times. So while it's great to have like a little bit of time at school, that's also an adjustment for her.
Yeah, I hear a lot of adjustments. And anything to add to that, Brooke, before we give Rachel a chance?
No.
All right. What do you have for us, Rachel?
Brooke just said every single.
I was going to say, oh my gosh, yeah. You're going to be like, yes.
Our lives sound very, very parallel. I wish she lived closer. yes, my daughter is the exact same. She does do ESY, but we have a short break in between her school year and ESY, like 2 weeks. And then ESY is only like, I don't know, 4 or 5, different teacher. Fortunately, it is on her campus usually because her campus is the one that houses the most children, but that's pretty much the only thing I like about it. Otherwise, the staff usually isn't as well-versed with her disability. I always cross my fingers and toes that there's at least one paraeducator from the school year that knows Audrey. So I have not always sent her until we moved into this school program, only because it is at the same campus. So there's some familiarity. But just like Brooke stated, Audrey just needs to be monitored and kept busy all the time. And so it completely takes away any plans of mine. My husband currently does work from home, so that is a little bit helpful, but it's really challenging. Because of her disability, it's challenging what I can do with her by myself. Mobility-wise, it's challenging because it gets really hot here. And so pretty much anything we do outside has to be before like 10 a.m. And then the rest of the day is a lot of screen time, trying to keep her entertained inside. And for me, the same, a lot of anxiety. I already feel it building up, even though we still have about a month of school. And every year I try to make different accommodations, and I do have her in swim lessons those 2 weeks off, but it's only 30 minutes. And Audrey just does not do well with a shift in her routine. And I don't think she fully understands why we're all of a sudden just not going to school and we're not doing the things that she's used to. So it's very challenging.
Yeah, definitely.
For everyone involved.
Yeah. And I'll add kind of a different perspective. So I consider myself a working mom. And so I think for me, having not just Levi home, but all of my kids home kind of throws a wrench because I typically do work during the hours that they're at school and then structure my life so that when they're home, then I kind of shift into mom mode. So I think I kind of have it figured out kind of maybe, but it's still very, very different. And I end up finding myself kind of feeling pulled in all the different directions as I'm trying to kind of meet all of my commitments. So that I think is also going to be a lot, you know, struggle for a lot of moms, right? That when their children are all of a sudden home during the summer, what do we do with these kids? And some people shared, you know, on different forums when we talked about summer is like also like a lot of our kids, you can't sign up for the traditional summer camps. So we don't really have some of the options that other moms might. And so really, I think kind of just to summarize what I heard all y'all say is like, okay, so there's a change in routine for everybody that kind of throws us off. There's not as many breaks. So basically we go from shifting into like, this is already hard to like, now we don't get any breaks. And yeah, and also just like the not confusion, but kind of like being at a loss, it was what to do to help everybody enjoy, pass time, do all the things. Anything else to add now that I summarized that you guys feel like was not addressed? And, you know, there's probably, this is not an exhaustive list. So, well, I'll bring some conversations up on the old Instagram. And I think it'd be fun to kind of continue the conversations because as we move through this conversation, this huddle, we're going to talk about not just let's talk about the problems because it is nice kind of being together, but let's actually talk about like, okay, just like my kind of joke earlier about this team is really hard. They've beat us before. Like, let's actually get a strategy together so that we can have a different approach. We still might lose the game, but at least we'll have a different approach, which I think can really, really shift how we feel when we're entering into this time. And before we kind of look at that, I wanted to tie into something that I think really impacts how we start summer, and that is end of school burnout. I was just talking with my neighbor in the driveway yesterday. She said, "How's your day?" And I barely kept it together without crying. It was a hard day. It was a hard day with all the different conversations at school and just feedback. And it was just a hard day. It's teacher appreciation week. And so it's already hard and busy, and we're adding a lot to the schedule in May. I've seen a lot of little jokes going around on Instagram, and they're all very true about all the things that happen at the end of the school year. So we go into this season burnt out, tired, needing an actual break. And instead of getting a break, we actually ramp it up a little bit. So I wanted to just kind of put this in the space. I want to answer the question, like, how do we think this impacts our summer? Is going in burnt out? What do you guys think?
I definitely feel that. It was surprisingly, this is the first time that I've seen Lily start to have end of school year burnout. The last week and a half, she has not wanted to go to school, which is very unlike her. And so it's like she's getting burnt out, which makes the mornings rough. And then, you know, I'm getting a little burnt out of just the routine of getting up for school. She has a school that starts super early. They start at like 7:45. So it's an early morning for us. And when it starts off rough, because she doesn't want to go, you know, like it's not the calm before the storm. It's like the storm before the storm over here right now. And teacher appreciation week is next week for us. And I always kind of struggle with that. Like there's so many people involved with working with our kids that, you know, I want to show them my appreciation, but having the energy to do that and make sure I include everybody and do something that's thoughtful. Oh man, it's a lot.
That's a whole nother episode. Yeah, over here, we're all like shaking our heads. We're like, yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
We had Teacher Appreciation Week last week. So funny how all the schools do it different. And yeah, I struggle with the same thing. Audrey has such a huge team. No one's there at the same day. It's like so hard. So this year, mom and I that pick up our daughters were one of the only ones that pick up versus the bus. So we chat after school and, or, you know, while we're waiting, and we decided to pitch in together, and we had one of the nurses that's in the class take coffee orders. So we got them Starbucks coffee that on Friday morning. And then we brought them crumble cookies as well. So it never feels like enough because our kids, you know, I know how much work it is, but they were very appreciative. They called us their coffee fairies. And yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, to go along with that, I feel the same. I think the shift is already happening, and Audrey's school goes a little bit longer than I feel like some, because she's on a track system here. But the teachers are burnout. I used to be an educator, so I know that feeling. And so I think their days are kind of filled. They're already checked out. Like their paperwork stuff is, you know, done. And so now there's a bunch of different things. So I feel like the routine in the day is already a little different. And then it's switching to a different staff. And then for us, we're transitioning to a whole different program next year. So I feel a lot of transitions happening. And all I want to do is be able to explain it to her and for her to know like why, you know, these weeks are going to be different. And, you know, I try, and then we're going to have like some social stories made and some picture icons and stuff, but it never seems enough. You know, she deserves a break, but I just wish those breaks felt like recharging. And for me, anything I try to do for her is a lot of work for me, like just being honest. And so, you know, anything I take her to, anything I sign up for, that's me physically bringing her. That's me physically being there with her, other than, you know, the few hours of summer school. And so it's a lot. And I just wish, you know, she obviously doesn't have the ability to just tell me what she wants to do. So that's what I yearn for, which isn't in our reality, but.
Yeah, no, that's very understandable. So what we've established is we're in the storm before the storm. And shifting gears a little bit, actually, this question was inspired by something you wrote, Brooke, as we prepared for this episode. And it was like, maybe the grief of like looking at the moms that we are during summer versus the moms who we want to be. Cause I think, you know, you take these tired moms and then you do all the things we've been talking about. And what's predictable is that you get moms that are yelling at their kids. You get moms that are kind of pissed off about stuff, and you get moms that are just tired and need a break. And when any of us are in that situation, we just don't show up as our best selves. And then likely we have thoughts and feelings about that, about ourselves, and then are not very kind to ourselves. So there's this like whole cycle that I'm sure everyone really understands here. And so the question I want to ask in light of this, that this is all very predictable. We know what's going to happen if we don't do anything, and we're going to, you know, do all the things I just mentioned. So the question I want to look at is, who do we want to be as mothers this summer? I know it's kind of a vague question, but I'm going to just leave it there. And so what comes up for you when I say, who do you want to be as a mom? And I'm going to also add as a woman this summer. I'll start because I had the advanced ability of having the question. And so for me, what comes up when I think about who I want to be is organized. For me, being organized and having a plan is deeply related to me feeling calm and present. So if I start my day with no plan, it's very predictable that I will feel like a mess all day. And nobody likes me when I don't feel like I have bearings. So for me, organized, I want to be calm as a woman, as a mother. I want to be creative, not just for my kids, but for myself. And I want to be supported. I want to feel like I have options, and I want to be nourished. And that's kind of what comes up for me. I'd love to hear what comes up for you ladies and who you want to be as a mom and as a woman.
Yeah, that resonates. I definitely want to feel calm as well and present. I think that's a really big one for me. I also want to just accept that there's probably going to be some rough days And I want to be able to seize the opportunity when something does present itself. You know, don't have so much fear and anxiety around it. You know, if my sister is a teacher, and so she's off in the summer and her boys are home and they have a pool, and it's a little bit of a drive. She's about a little over an hour away from me, but you know, if she happens to ask us to come over and swim at her house, I don't want to think about it. I just, you know, if Audrey's in a good mood and if we have the availability, like, let's just pack up and go. And I don't want to have to worry about, oh, what if she doesn't have a good day? What if this happens? What if that happens? So I think that's probably my biggest thought about the summers. Like, I just want to be able to be present. I want to be able to use the opportunities given and accept that things are going to probably be a little rough, and also scheduling things, especially for myself, not really for Audrey, but I know that, like, the gym time is usually, I get to work out when Audrey's at school, and obviously that won't happen. So I need to get with it and schedule really early morning classes before my husband has to start work even if it's only a couple days a week, utilize my mom if she's available to help. And we are in the process of getting a babysitter as well, so maybe utilizing her for, even if it's just helping me at home when I'm doing things around the house. So
thank you. What about you, Brooke?
When I think about the mom that I want to be during summer, I think I want to be kind of like what Rachel was saying. Like, the word that comes to mind for me is fluid. Not so rigid in, like, it has to be this way, or we have to do this at this time, you know, or I had these plans today, but maybe Lily's not feeling it. I tend to get really frustrated. Rachel kind of explained this a little earlier, but, you know, it's so much work on us to plan, and that's all falls on our shoulders. And something I noticed that I struggled with last summer was, I have all these ideas because I want to be a fun mom and I want to enjoy my time with Lily. And then, you know, I spend an hour and a half prepping to go to the beach, and then we get there and she wants to be there for 20 minutes and then leave. And last summer that was really frustrating for me. And so this summer I would like to do better at being more fluid in those situations, and even just being grateful for maybe the 20 minutes of fun that we did have, rather than being upset that it didn't necessarily play out how I wanted it to. I think also I would like to have less expectations of myself over the summer, not expecting myself to be, you know, top tier fun mom activities every day, because I know that's unrealistic. So those are probably the two biggest things that come to mind for me.
Great. Yeah. I hear this huge theme of acceptance and acceptance. And I see how it kind of flows into that fluid, where it's like, part of acceptance to me is accepting our reality as our reality, like not resisting reality. And when we accept the reality that our children may not go along with our plan, it becomes a lot easier, like you were describing, Brooke, to say, okay, like, we may get 5 minutes at the beach, or we may get 5 hours. But going into that with the mental game of knowing that you may have to address and accept, and this doesn't mean we can't be sad about it, this doesn't mean we can't be mad about it, but I think the difference is, I think it could take us real out, like spiral us down into, like, oh, my life's so whatever we would say. But I don't think it has to take us quite down so far. Okay. I also, you know, when you were talking, Rachel, I think what came up for me, and as you were describing, you were kind of going into some of the things you might do to support yourself, and you didn't say these words, but it sounded a lot like you are expecting yourself to really have to manage your mind in the summer. Like, you were describing going over to your sister's house and recognizing that it would be easy for you to have, like, a lot of stories about it. And when I say stories, like, those are our thoughts. Those are the things that just our brain throws out to, as potential, like, oh, be careful about this. And when I say manage your mind, what I mean is actually recognizing that these are not all true thoughts, and that sometimes it's helpful to question them, or even in your case, Rachel, like, actually be prepared for them. like, instead of being, you know, on the defensive and like waiting for them to come, expecting that they're going to come and knowing what you're already going to do about them. And I really like how the sports analogy just kind of fit in there again, in case y'all didn't notice. Anything to add on that as we move on to the next part of the conversation? Okay. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, I think we can kind of picture ourselves, and I think we know what we're capable of, you know, like that we have the capacity to do this. And I want us to actually tap into the parts of ourselves, our strengths, and even just our personalities, and just connect with that part that we're going to need as we go create some of this. And so what comes up for you as parts of you that you feel like are really going to serve you, or skills that you have that are really going to help you have a different experience this summer?
Maybe like some skills that I've been working on that I could see helping me this summer, because last summer was a doozy for us. And it was something that I talked about in therapy. You know, we know this is going to happen. Summer's going to come every year. Like, what can we do moving forward to make this better? And I don't know if this is necessarily where you're going with this, but kind of where my mind went was, you know, what can I implement to maybe help me get through this better? And something we talked about last summer is having additional help in the summertime. And that doesn't necessarily have to be help with Lily, because I think every special needs family, mom out there, parent experiences the lack of help and support that we need. But maybe how can I outsource other areas of my life that might be helpful during the summer? Like, even if it's we hire a cleaning lady during the summer, or somebody comes and, you know, or even using Instacart or things like that, that help take a load off of my shoulders. That's something that I intend to try to focus on this summer, you know, or even using Instacart or things like that, that help take a load off of my shoulders. That's something that I intend to try to focus on this summer. So that might be something that could be helpful. I don't know if that's where you were going with that, but.
Well, we are going to definitely lean into that. I like that you already put that in there for sure. Really, what I'm looking to do is as moms, and Rachel knows this, we were talking about this earlier. I think sometimes we actually forget like what we bring to the table, and not just as moms, I think as women, as career people. And so I think what I want to connect with is actually all that we already have before we even take any other action, all that we already have that gives us the capacity to go and do something about this, right? Like, Brooke, you're sharing like, yeah, like this happens every year. And not that we're going to make it perfect, because I was very intentional about Christmas season this year, holiday season. And there was some still hard patches, even though I was very, very intentional. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to like magically make everything better, but I do think it's still worth the effort. And so some things that I think about in terms of kind of just connecting to who I am is, I think, you know, my former career as a project manager. So I happen to be really good at looking ahead at things and seeing what's needed, and gathering different people around to be able to create, you know, it was brief before in my life, it was a project. But in this case, actually, it's my life. So I think that's something I recognize, like I can bring that to the table and I can use that skill and apply it to this other area. And Rachel, I know you were in education before. So I'd be really curious, as an educator, you likely had to do a lot of things very well to be in your career. And so, I don't know, does that kind of bring anything to mind for either one of you in terms of kind of tapping into who you are, maybe even just things you naturally like, that would have you bring that as part of your, you know, one of your gifts that you bring to the table for your own service?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm thinking back when you brought up the education, it's like modifying, which, you know, we have to do a lot in our lives, in our particular situation. And I feel like being able to still do those activities at whatever capacity we're able to do. So the acceptance still is strong here, because like accepting that it's not going to look, you know, this way, but making the modifications, whether it's like a shorter time or a different type of activity or, you know, whatever it is. I think I know in the past that something that I'm trying to work on is really you know, comparing like what basically what we don't get to do and what I wish I could do with my daughter on a daily basis, especially in a season of breaks and, you know, whatnot. So yeah, just modifying whatever we can to make it through each day and to bring some fun in without making it a huge to do.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. That's a really good one, modifying. Anything come up for you, Brooke?
I would agree a lot with what Rachel said. I mean, for us with our kids being gone at school all day, like that's our time to do everything that we need to do. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like from the second Lily's at school till the second she gets home, I'm like, go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And I do everything I can, you know, and in that time frame. And so I think about what that looks like over the summer. And I know that I can do all of those things with Lily. They just might not look the same. And I think I need to go into the summer with the confidence of I can do this. I have done this. Guess what? We've survived every single summer so far. So it's not going to take me out. And just, you know, again, I think my mind just keeps going back to being fluid. I know that I can do it. I know that I can modify my schedule, my plans to include her. I mean, I'm struggling a little bit with this question, but I agree a lot with what you guys have said.
It can be a question that we can continue to ponder. Because like I said earlier, I said, I actually think women are pretty bad. Not to critique us too hard, but we're pretty bad at actually looking at ourselves and acknowledging ourselves for who we are and all that we're capable of and the skills that we have and the talents that we have and the gifts that we bring to the table. And so I think that's what I wanted us to connect to. I hope that obviously the listeners like connect to like what you might have. And if you're coming up dry, this might be a conversation that you bring with some friends. Like, hey, like, oh, I noticed this thing where I can't even like list something that I'm good at. And I'm thinking that that's probably not true. I'm thinking that there's probably many, many things that we could put on this list if we just were able to see them how other people see them in us. We can leave that there for now. And maybe that's a follow-up conversation. And I want to look at just brainstorming together on strategies. You guys have said a couple and we'll summarize them that can be used to address some of our obstacles. So just recapping the obstacles. Not having anything to do or anything to do that works well with our child and the weather, not having breaks, being depleted, managing behavioral challenges. So, Brooke, I already heard you say something that I think was really, really great. And it was not necessarily get help with just Lily. Actually look for other areas of life that you can kind of shore up is the word I would use, knowing that this other area is going to be asking a lot of you. So you mentioned getting some house cleaning help. Actually, on Saturday, I'm excited. I'm getting this new grocery delivery, but there's some 10-minute meals that are coming in it. Very excited about that. So looking at the challenges, specifically, let's look at not getting a break. So what are things that we would say, okay, like we can see this now because we're like relatively okay over here. What do we see now that we might do to address not having the breaks that we ultimately need as moms? What do you guys think?
I think that I'm such a creature of habit that when it comes to summer, you know, like Rachel said, with gym time, for example, that's really important for me in my life that I make time for that. And normally it's as soon as Lily goes to school. And accepting that just because that doesn't look the same over the summer, it doesn't mean I can't continue that because I know it's important for my physical health, my mental health. So either I can work out at home or I can go to the gym at a later time in the day, you know, adapting and being okay with that, not expecting my life to be exactly the same while Lily's at home versus like what it is when she's not there. Again, you know, the house cleaner thing that was addressed last summer, just outsourcing little things that might not seem like that big of a task when I have a break, but can be really draining when I'm with her 24/7. Going to the grocery store is something that's really draining when, you know, you're with your kid 24/7 and you have to bring them.
Okay, so I'll do a quick recap so we can kind of have a running list. So what I heard is creating an alternative schedule. So this is mostly for us, right? So finding other ways to do the things that are really important to us, specifically the gym. You know, some of you might not be gym people, so this might be something else for you. It could be a walk. It could be like shutting yourself in your room and not talking to anybody for just a few minutes. It could be a lot of different things, but that's actually a strategy I use where I modify my work schedule, and I recognize I work for myself, so I have the luxury of doing this, but I go from working 5 days a week to working a 3-day work schedule. So Tuesdays and Fridays are like my days to be summer mom and where I try to plan fun stuff. And then the rest of the days are not so fun. It's just basically like, how can I keep my kids alive and fed in the house, like generally put together so that I can meet my work commitments? So modifying our schedule and really in advance thinking about this, that's what I really want to point out here, because, you know, at the time that this episode airs, we will still have time, most likely, so that we can really look at this and map out our summer. So essentially, I am proposing that we actually print some calendars and we actually map it out. So whether it's the actual every day or just looking at the general, like, okay, like I'm going to go to the gym on Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm going to go at 7 o'clock before, in your case, like when your husband might be available to support you. Okay. So two strategies. So the one of scheduling and then also getting additional help. Okay. So those are really good. What else? What else do we have?
I really liked the outsource. I don't know why this has never really been on my mind until recently, but I just listened. I'm still listening to it. I haven't even finished a podcast that came out today about asking for help. And it was literally about this exact thing that you're talking about. And, you know, I've been searching and trying to find someone for almost 8 years to help me with Audrey, but I've never ever considered help with something else. And this person was literally like, someone was picking up her prescriptions once a week for her, or, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, the same for me. I really I'm going to have to meal delivery or, you know, Instacart or whatever it is, because that's just not, you know, an option for me to just at the drop of a hat, go and get a few things with Audrey. And so, yeah, just planning those things. And then for me, I'm the same. I'm such a routine person. I think it's just really noticing that things aren't going to just be smooth, you know, and I just need to be okay with that and just get through. It's not always going to be like this. This isn't every day. And this is just how it has to be right now.
So. Yeah, definitely. I want to mention, I think I know the podcast you're talking about because I started listening to it today as well. Is it the Brave Together podcast?
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention here because I'm going to put it on Instagram as well. But I only got like a little bit into it, but I could tell it was going to be really, really good. And so I definitely feel, knowing Jessica, I feel 100% confident recommending this. So the link to this podcast is going to be on the show notes for this episode. So if you're like, oh, I'm willing to explore the idea of getting more help, please go listen to that. Because I think all of us, me included, even though I preach this stuff all day long, it's really uncomfortable to get help. And so that is, I think, very applicable to this conversation, because I think a lot of this is actually stepping into the vulnerability of asking for help. So I'm going to continue to brainstorm some things I came up with in terms of getting some breaks is, like I said, designing in specific times to get breaks. So maybe you say, okay, if you have a husband that can support you in this way, saying, hey, every Saturday morning for like 4 hours, that's my time. And maybe it's the whole day. Like we don't have to limit to 4 hours. I'm saying, you know what? That's my day off. I am taking a day off and I'm going to do whatever the heck I want. And you can't stop me. No. And just like, hey, this is the support I need to be able to sustain myself during summer. And I want to consider, I mean, that I hope doesn't sound extreme. I hope it sounds like, yeah, actually, I'm willing to look at how I can create these little pockets, or maybe it's even the evening. Like, so right now, my oldest child is quite active and he has activities 4 days a week that require us to drive him to. And so my husband and I switch off, and usually we stay out there during the time that he's doing the things. And I use that as time. Like on Wednesday night, I took myself to gelato and I went and saw the sunset. And I was going to read a little bit, but I got distracted. So it was great. Just that little pocket where I can then come home, get the kids to bed, and like it really, really makes a big difference. Asking for help. again, this is just brainstorm. I want to consider that a lot of times we hear these things and us moms kind of have some resistance against them. And I was thinking about this morning because I don't know if any of you have done any physical therapy or any type of stretching where somebody else has been assisting you. And I don't know what this is called. The physical therapist can pipe in, but there's a type of stretch that when the person stretches you, you actually have to push back against them. And then you let go and then they continue to stretch you. And what happens is actually your flexibility or your muscle stretches farther than if you were just pulling it on your own or if they were just pulling it. So there's this interesting dynamic between like resisting against it and then actually being able to go farther than we did before. And I want to use that as a little bit of a jumping off point for recognizing that we're going to have to push against some of our own resistance as it comes to these ideas, because they might require us to go outside of our comfort zone or do something we haven't done before. So the ideas I had would be like doing kid swaps. And this may not work for everybody, I can acknowledge that, but it reminded me of a time way back when my kids were like little. And there was a group, I think there were like 13 moms, and I didn't know all of them really well, but I put together this spreadsheet where we had a point system where we basically were like, it was a co-op. We traded babysitting back and forth. It was very complex, this point system thing. And I was like, man, I should have kept that. I could have sold it, I feel like. But recognizing that, like, I think we should flex on the mom power, because my guess is that some of us, I'm thinking of a mom right now that has a son who has many of the same conditions as my son does. So who would be better than to manage him than her? And that's a very, very unique profile. And so I'm guessing that some of you have kids that you have friends that have a little bit of an understanding. And so, and maybe it's a mom from school. And maybe you say, hey, can you come over? And can we do a swap where you come over and you watch both the kids together one night so my husband and I can get a date night? Mm-hmm. And again, you have to really apply this to your own situation, because everyone, I acknowledge, has very, very unique needs. But maybe you have a child who has a G-tube, and that's a very unique skill set that you can't necessarily just train somebody in one day. But maybe you have a little community over on Instagram and you recognize, hey, actually I have friends that have G-tubes in the vicinity. And maybe we do like a little bit of a brainstorm of like, how can we support each other during the summer, knowing that it's actually really, really difficult to get people that are untrained to watch our children. So maybe you hit up against some resistance of, I can't do that because, but I want you just to like entertain it for a little bit. Entertain the idea of actually asking for some trades or for some swaps, or, you know, in my case, even if I get rid of like half my kids, that's like a lot lighter load. And so maybe it's for me, you know, my neighbor offered last night, hey, if Cambry ever wants to come over, like, you know, you, Dan, get away. Like, we can't do Levi. And I totally respect that. But like, that's one kid, one kid off my roster. Anyhow, I want to kind of bounce it off of you guys, if that brings up any other additional ideas that for either one of you.
I have two things that I've thought as you've been talking. I'm super big on a calendar. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, as you talk about, we still have time. I almost want to get like those big like calendars they put on like work desks or things like that, you know, and it's like, let's map out our summer. And we need to schedule in times that I have a break. And it's a hard commitment for me. Like, okay, this mm-hmm. Wednesday of whatever week I'm going out, or every Wednesday or whatever, you know, and putting it on the calendar, because then that's a commitment to myself. It's not like I'll just get to it when I get to it. No, like I need to prioritize taking breaks and not feeling guilty about that. You know, something that my therapist said to me last summer was, you know, you're expecting yourself to do something 24/7. Think about the people that work with our children, you know, when they're at school, they get a lunch break, they get 15-minute breaks, you know, and you're expecting yourself to be performing 100% all the time with no breaks. And that's not realistic. So the first thing I thought of was mapping out our summer, but intentionally scheduling breaks for me by myself, you know, to go and kind of recharge. The other thing I thought of too was, we struggle sometimes like in the moment coming up with ideas of things to do. And so maybe while we're not under the pressure and stress of summer, we can make a list of, you know, here's a bunch of activities that Lily enjoys. And so that way we can either A, add it to the calendar and say like, okay, this Monday, we're going to do this and this and this. That takes off the stress of like the weekly planning if we map it out ahead of time. But also on those days where it's like, we just need to get out of the house, I have a pre-made list of these are a bunch of things that we could go do that she would enjoy. Because then that also takes the stress off again of, well, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? If we've already mapped that out ahead of time, it's just kind of like, oh, let's go do this thing on the list. And that makes that easier in the moment.
100%. I'm thinking about the moments in, you know, managing my kids where if we don't know what we're doing and we're all sitting around like you did it so perfectly. I don't know. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. It's kind of awful. And I feel like for me, it puts me in a place where I'm definitely not my best self, because for me, like having four kids doing all the things four kids do, trying to pack and get out of the house and, you know, pack food and all that, like that takes a lot of focus. And so for me, it puts me in a place where I am not very nice. I'm not in a good space. And so by knowing for me, again, so going back to this planning piece that you have, so kind of pairing that with this like brainstorm of like what we want to do. And for a family like mine, we can probably do this as a family where we kind of get input from the different people. But having something to lean on when our brains are not going to be as creative. And so I love that idea. Actually, I was like, oh, that'd be fun to do kind of as a community. I wonder if there's a way that we can kind of, as a mom community, talk about different things that help to spend time with our children in these various stages of summer. So very, very good. I love the mapping calendar out. I do. That reminded me, I did that last year and it helped so much because one, I could see what I've major deficits in my childcare. And this year I have a different strategy already. We're good on that, but it helps me see. So for my husband's in the school administrator. And so I know that there's a 1 month where like, it's all going to be on me because he goes back to work. And so I can really clearly look at like, okay, how do I need to support myself during that short season versus when he's home? And for me, when he's home, like that's when I'm going to get real intentional about getting some of my work projects done because I'll have the support. So this idea of mapping, I just obviously can't get excited enough about that. So what else? What else do we have?
I guess I do like the mapping. I feel like I'm always voicing like the things that I want or need, but I don't actually, you know, I'm like, I want to work out 3 times a week. I want to make dinner like this, but then I don't schedule it, like you said. And so then it's just like chaos always. And then you're not happy. And then, but yeah, scheduling. And then, so once you've scheduled, like really lining that up, if that's like someone coming to your house or childcare or, you know, whatever it is. So actually following through, like I need to look in now, right now, like today about like a meal service or something, you know, that like I want to sign up for the summer. So yeah, that is good. I feel like every year I'm always like, oh, I should do this. And then nothing really ends up happening. So.
Totally. Well, I think the point about scheduling is a lot of times, you know, when I'm working with clients individually, they'll say, okay, I want to do this. And then I say, okay, let's put on the schedule. And then boom, it gets real. It's like, oh, I'm actually doing this. It went from an idea to a plan. And that really, really shifts things. So I actually even love taking this up a notch and saying, okay, like Brooke, I think you said like, okay, I'm going to put on the schedule for Wednesday night, go out or just take a break. Of maybe even having a fellow special needs mom on there and saying, I want accountability. I'm telling you that I'm going to go out 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Wednesday. I'm going to invite you on the calendar request. And my request from you is that you make sure I don't ditch it. And if I have to reschedule or if something does happen, then I have to find that new time, just like you would do in a professional appointment, right? If you have to cancel an appointment, you reschedule it. The other thing I wanted to put out here as just an idea, I have no idea if it would work or not, is like, I wonder if some of the paras or the people that work with our kids at school that know them and have this unique skill set want to work over the summer. And perhaps they're willing to break the rules if that's not allowed, like rule breakers. But that's a real possibility because, again, we already have a little bit of comfort that they know how to support our children and in the way that they need it. I don't know. I can't think of a richer pool of people that really can just give us little breaks or little windows. All right. We're going to start to wrap this up, but anything else come up as we look to wrap up?
I guess just letting people help you too. When they ask, that's something that I'm always like, no, I'm good. Or I think in my head, like that makes things more difficult sometimes, especially when it involves like the care of my daughter. But yeah, like if they're willing, then accepting it and actually kind of letting go of the control.
This is one where I think we could pair this with the scheduling piece. And I know not all of us have family that can take our children, but some of us do. And some of us have a family that are like, please let me help. And to your point, Rachel, like, I just kind of have to let them. And what I was looking at is pairing with the scheduling, saying, hey, mom, whoever, what would you think about having Thursday be granddaughter day, where you can plan to have her for whatever amount of time? Then that way you can plan to have a break. And whoever the person is can actually plan their life too, to be able to say, hey, I get to do this thing. They can kind of gear up for it if they need, you know, to plan for it. It makes it feel much more solid and much more doable than just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. Okay. I feel much better about summer. I don't know how y'all feel. How do you guys feel?
I feel good. I think what I'm taking away the most from this conversation is there's so much focus on what are we going to do with our kids?
Mm-hmm.
But even before that, like, what am I going to do to take care of me so that I can take care of her? That's what I'm taking from this. I know that summer is the hardest time of the year for me. And so knowing that, what can I do to make it less hard? So that's going to be something that I really focus on over the next month before school gets out, is I need to take care of me so I can take care of her.
I just love the way you said that so much. Inside, I'm like jumping up and down and clapping, but I didn't think that would be appropriate for the podcast. Yes. I think we forget how important that is. That is kind of why I'm here. Anything that you would add, Rachel, as we wrap up the conversation?
Yeah. And I think that was perfectly said, Brooke. I fully agree. Also giving yourself grace when things don't go the way they should or you planned. But I feel like, especially like being stay-at-home mom now, like I feel the guilt and the, no, I shouldn't have to have people help me, you know, do these things because that this is my job, quote unquote. But no, like giving myself grace that kind of that's not me. And this, that's not summer Rachel. That's, you know, I am literally, I want to be more than a caregiver, but in the summer, caregiver and mom, like kind of our, we always talk care about like identities, and that's, that's going to be, you know, what it is. And yes, finding, you know, things to do for myself and scheduling those breaks, but just knowing that like, I really am, this is my time to really, you know, own those identities and whatever comes along with that.
Yeah. One last thing as we wrap up, I just really got a visualization of like a career person that works like a 9-to-5, whatever, like that they have very clear hours. They get to check out and clock out. Mm-hmm. And as you were describing, like, I shouldn't need help. Like, this is my job. I think we can all kind of see the fallacy in that thinking, because it's like, well, no, if it was your job, you would get to go home from your job and then get a break. And so actually I was like, ooh, we talked so much about schedule and mapping. I feel like, and this is actually something I do because my brain is just too prone to anxiety, that I really, really schedule a lot. And I schedule in my calendar time to rest and play. Because if not, my brain's going to say, you should be working, you should be cleaning, you should be blah, 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 blah. And so for me to shut that chatter down, it really, really helps. And so I actually can picture like us being like, okay, well, let's give ourselves some work hours in terms of these are caregiving hours where you are one-on-one and this is your time off. And like, so even maybe you look at like, okay, I'm going to like find solid hours where I get a break, just like somebody that would be, you know, working in a profession would get a solid weekend. So anyhow, I could obviously go on this forever. We will wrap it up here, but thank you so much for both of you for being here. like I said, I feel better about summer and this conversation is going to evolve. I'm contemplating doing a kind of a follow-up episode to this. And again, just thank you so much for bringing your honesty and your brilliance to this conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kara.
All right. We'll see you on the next episode. One more thing before we officially wrap up this show. Sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts, I have the experience of wanting more. I'm listening at the very end thinking, I sure wish that episode didn't end. I invite you, if you feel in any way the same way, I invite you to the Special Needs Mom podcast community, which is a free group that I host on Facebook, where we as a community of fellow moms who listen to this podcast and are experiencing life in similar shoes, get to talk to one another, get to share stories, get to actually interact. I hope you'll consider joining. See you over there.